Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Raising Saints, an AM 820 production designed for parents who desire to raise the saints in their life. And now, Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt.
Hello and welcome to Raising Saints, the show for Catholic parents. I'm your host, Katie Wyatt, and you are listening to AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Here on Raising Saints, we talk to teenagers about the topics that matter most, and then we invite you, parents, to listen in on our conversations. And we hope and pray that in listening, you will gain insight and wisdom, maybe even some courage, maybe some inspiration that you need to have these conversations with your own kids. So every episode I say that, and then it occurred to me that maybe you don't know how to have these conversations with your own kids. Even if we give you the wisdom and the insight and the courage or whatever, maybe you need the tools actually for communicating with your kids. So we thought it would be good to do an episode on how to talk to your teenager. And we have with us three wonderful young people today. Why don't you tell us your name and where you go to church?
My name's Zach and I go to St. John Newman.
I'm Kira and I go to St. Catherine's.
I'm Mai and I go to St. Bridget of Kildare.
Welcome all. You've all been here before, so welcome back. And we have three different parishes represented today, which is awesome. That doesn't always happen. So I found a list. I always find lists. Sometimes they're like more credible sources than others. But I thought this was a pretty good list of communication do's and don'ts when talking to your teenagers. But obviously, this list was written by an adult. So I thought it would be cool to run the list by you guys and get your perspective and see if you think that these are actually useful tools. And maybe you can expound on the tools a little bit and help our listeners out as they try to approach their kids and have meaningful conversations. So first of all, let me just ask you, do you all have good communication with your own parents?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yep.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why? Like what happened that enabled you and your parents to have good open communication? I know that's a really like broad, like years of being raised and years of talking to your parents, but just in generalizations.
For me, it was just my parents kind of reaching out to me, just as simple as asking me about how my day was. And I think that's really like what the base started as. And then after that, they just started asking me about like more in-depth stuff, you know, what I did at youth group, how my faith has evolved. And just topics similar to that.
So they show a genuine interest in your life and what you're doing, and they ask questions and they want answers. And
yeah, and it's not like a Q&A session.
Right, like, they're not like grilling you. Right, like, so Zach, yeah. Who was at youth group tonight? Was she cute? Yeah, like that? No. Okay.
It's not like that. Okay. And I'm happy that it's not like that. Parents, it shouldn't be like that.
I think for me, my parents have always been, you know, since I was really little, kind of what you say, you know, they're genuinely interested in what you're doing, what goes on around you. But it develops the conversations and it really, you know, goes in depth, and they make it serious to an extent where you know that there's certain respect lines and certain things that you're like, okay, this is kind of how I want to be. Like, these are the adults. But at the same time, it teaches you how to talk to them and how to say, I can truly be open with them. Like, these are the people that I can come to if I ever need anything or have questions about anything. And I don't know, I don't have anything specific in terms of how that developed, but I just know that that just enables me to say, you know, when my friends ask me, oh, I don't tell, you know, do you ever tell your mom anything? Like, yeah, like almost everything.
Yeah, right.
Is that strange? I don't know. But, you know, I don't really know how it surfaced, but it just kind of developed into that. So I guess it comes from interest at the beginning, but at the same time, then, you know, from the kids saying, okay, it's all right. You know, how do you give way to that for your kid to say, okay, I can go to my parents. That's cool. You know?
All right.
Yeah. For me, my mom and I are at home most of the time because my dad's out of town a lot. So my mom's kind of like my best friend. We get along so great. And there's always just been this trust from the beginning that has probably deepened our relationship. But something really helpful that I think more parents should do with their children is kind of treating each other as spiritual equals in the planes of talking about prayer in your spiritual lives and things like that, and giving each other insight and helpful tips and things like that, because I really think we can learn something from each other.
Do you remember when you sort of made that transition? Because, you know, your parents' role when you're little is to teach you how to pray, mm-hmm. and to tell, you know, teach you about the faith. So
I don't know. Do you have, was there a moment when you said, oh my gosh, I know so much and I can share it with my mom on sort of an equal level? Or
I think it was probably when I just genuinely expressed interest in my faith. And that's kind of when things got more serious and things really opened up for the better.
I think for me, too, it worked similar to that. You know, I don't think there's something specific that I remember that I was like, oh, you know, ooh, that looks good. But like, kind of like, I remember like when I was little, we moved a lot. So we went to a lot of different masses and it was just sometimes different languages kind of ideas and whatnot. And I remember my mom always had kind of a certain routine, if you will, that I admired a lot and that I was really like wondering about. You know, it was kind of like my challenge every like weekend. I was like, all right, this Sunday, when I was like, 7, I think, I was like, I'm going to try to pay attention through the whole homily. Like, can I do
can
it?
Can I do it?
And my mom supported me through those things. And I started sharing those with her. And she said, all right, well, what do you want to do this Sunday? Like, what are you looking for at Mass? And something else that she did that I really liked that kind of sparked that interest was, you know, she would talk about little things after the homily or like something like that after, you know, we get back in the car, we're driving home from Mass, anything like that. And those little things that say, you know, your parents are doing it a certain way. So like it's kind of leading by example to an extent. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to check this out. What does this look like? You become interested and then you can see how happy they are that at the same time you're like, oh, yeah, I can do this. I can try it out. So yeah. I don't know. Again, there's nothing like very specific, but I think when you're watching them do it, they become like your friend. They really are someone that you can share it, that you're trying to learn from at the same time. So that's kind of cool.
So a big part for you is just the respect that your parents gained.
Yeah.
Like being someone that your children respect and want to emulate and want to talk about things with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Zach, you were talking about just your parents expressing a genuine interest in your life and what's going on. And
yeah.
I mean, I think I hope that's typical. Like, I hope that parents genuinely care what's going on in their kids' lives. But sometimes I think the fine line is being genuinely interested because you love your kid and you want to know what's going on. Being genuinely interested because you're keeping tabs on your kid. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys can speak to that at all. Like, there are parents who kind of hover over their kids and have such high expectations and such high demands, which is okay. It's okay to expect the best of your kids. But I don't know, how is that different from just genuinely being interested? Oh, Maya's dying to say something. Go ahead, Maya.
Well, I've seen this, you know, through my friends and then always comparing it back to kind of my parents, because one thing that I saw a lot, like with my mom when I was little, is the responsibility part of it. For me, and I know that's kind of my mom's style, but the responsibility part, you know, they showed me how to do things and they showed me what they expected from it. But I don't ever remember my parents saying, like, being on top of me about, you have to do this, you have to do that. They were like, you're going to learn what it looks like if you don't do it.
If you don't do it, right.
And at the same time, they're like guarding you enough so that you learn from the mistake, that you realize what you did, and then they talk about it with you, which I thought, I didn't realize that until several years later, but I thought that was really interesting. And I think it makes a difference, because when parents, you know, one big thing that I think all teenagers like is when their parents give them enough freedom to give them the chance for the kid to say, I am responsible enough. Like, I can prove to you that I am responsible enough, that I can take everything that you've taught me and actually put it into practice and make it my own. I think there's no greater satisfaction for a parent than to see their kid say, they're taking everything I taught them and making it part of who they are. And I don't know, I think that's, for me, that's one of the biggest motivations, you know, thinking of my mom and what she taught me. That's the biggest thing. It's saying, I want to be as good as my mom has always been to me. And I want to show that. I want to emulate that to a certain extent. So,
well, let's get to our list. You guys can you guys can tell me if this list written by an adult is a good list. Okay, communication do's and don'ts for how to talk to your teenager. The first one is be a good listener. So I think it's obvious that you have to listen to your kids. But what would you say makes a parent a good listener? How do you know that your parent is listening and making a difference in your conversation?
I would say just genuinely sitting down with them and making eye contact and caring, not just running through the house, doing dishes, things like that. Like really taking the time to sit down and care about what your child is saying. But also, I think something that is really helpful that I think a lot of parents don't do is just really being understanding, especially when we're venting about stressful things. Because I know sometimes my parents play devil's advocate and there's nothing, I know it helps in the long run, but there's nothing that upsets me more.
I know.
When I'm on a rampage and they're just sitting there
just
playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I really think just being understanding is a really big thing.
Right. And as a parent, we're trying, you know, if our kid is ranting about someone or something, our like Christian instincts kick in, you know, and we want to say, well, what do you think they might be going through at home? Or what do you think, you know, why don't we pray for that person?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
I think to an extent you should do that. But at the same time, sometimes they just need someone
they
to
need
talk to. And
yeah.
I know with my mom, like when I mess up, you know, when I answer or something and then she lets me rant, she just looks at me and then I'm like, okay, mom, now I need to apologize to you because I just realized what I did. I just realized that I just, you know, said this to you or that I just
or
went
no,
a little too
mom,
off.
Mom, you can
know?
Be the voice of reason. Go ahead.
I'm like, okay, no, it's okay. You know, but kind of, you know, going along that idea, just the fact that they will sit down and say, I really care about what you're saying. So I'm almost like you don't want your kid to guess what reaction you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of like a friend, you know, like even though sometimes you should know, like, oh, I did this, so he's going to be really mad or she's going to be really mad. But sometimes like you want your, you know, you want your parents not, you don't want to be able to guess your parents' reaction because then maybe, you know, that shows you that they are truly trying to understand.
Okay.
So
they're not
going to
be
makes sense, but
predictable. They're not going to respond the same way every time.
So you're not scared of talking to them because
gotcha.
I think when kids, you know, get used to, oh, they're going to yell at me for this or, oh, I'm going to get in trouble
or,
for this.
Oh,
right?
They're not going to understand or
exactly.
Oh, they're not going to, you know, I mean, whatever the typical response might be. If it's
right. And,
yeah.
And that's even better because it deepens your relationship. You know, it really shows the other side and how your parents are growing from teaching you stuff. I think that that's also a good way to look at it.
What about you, Zach? What do you think makes a parent a good listener?
I think you can kind of tell like if a parent's truly listening or if they're just kind of like going through the motions, like when you're talking, if like they keep asking you like the same thing over and over and over.
I already told
like
you.
If it's just kind of like scripted, like how was your day, what'd you do, how'd that make you feel every day for a week, then you obviously can tell. So I think it's just like kind of spontaneous almost, just like when they genuinely care about you, like different things will come up and the conversations won't always like be the same.
Something that I noticed myself doing with my kids sometimes is like if they're talking to me and I'm texting or I'm doing, you know, I'm distracted. And in my mind, I feel like I'm multitasking. This is effective. This is great. You know, I'm doing fine. But then if I step out of myself and look at it from my kid's perspective, no, you're not multitasking. You're half paying attention to what I'm telling you. You know, I don't know if you've noticed. Your parents probably never text when you're talking to them. I'm probably just a really bad mom.
I think that's a very, very valid point. I've seen that, you know, in my family, that is something that I've seen several times. But I think that goes both ways. I think that goes, you know, from the kid perspective as well, because maybe the parent is trying to listen. Maybe the parent really is trying to find a new way to connect with, you know, his or her kid. And at the same time, the kid is kind of with the screen door where they don't really let them through, which whether it might be, you know, hiding with a phone or doing something else. But I think you need to break down some of those barriers. And sometimes it takes a little bit of effort and it takes a little bit for both parts to realize what they're doing, you know, but I think that's important. And yeah, I don't think you're a bad
mom. And I think there are times,
that.
I think it's, there are times when it's obvious, okay, I need to put my phone down and listen to my kid. Like obviously, but there are times when maybe it's not so obvious that we still need to step back and say, okay, I need to put my phone down and just be present to my kid. You know, it doesn't have to be something earth-shattering that your kid's trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe if you have one of those conversations and when it's over, you just take a step back and kind of reflect and see if you really got to the heart of the conversation and understood what your teenager is saying.
Yeah.
Or even for us, we need to step back and see, you know, did I really listen? Did I really try to engage with my parents? And I think that's something that can really enhance your conversation for the next time you have one.
Okay, next item on the list, respect privacy. And I think this one is tricky. Because, I mean, because, well, first of all, why is that important for a teenager? Why do you need privacy?
I mean, I guess there might be things like that you really don't feel that personal connection with your parents yet that you feel like, oh, I could never like tell them this, or like maybe it's just something like you need to work through on your own. It's not that big a deal, so there's really no reason to involve them.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like some privacy is good, but too much privacy might cause like you and your parent being distant and not getting to a personal relationship.
Right.
I think there's that middle balance.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think there is a point, you know, where you want your parents to be interested enough that they're asking you about it, that you know they care, because that I mean, it's so much better than if you thought that, oh, they just don't care, so why bother tell them? But I do think that to a certain extent, there's some things that you have to go through your own, you know, by yourself and just kind of reflect on. And maybe you'll talk to them about it later, but it's something that you're, like, not hiding from them, but something that you're trying to understand for yourself first, and then you'll go through it and be like, okay, Mom, you know, this is how I think about it. What would you say, you know, what's going on, or what would your perspective be once you've gone through it, so...
And that's so hard for a parent.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, why is she being so private? What is she keeping from me? Why doesn't she want me to know? Why doesn't she love me? Oh, I'm a terrible mom. Yeah, so there really is. Parents have to be able to respect that, you know. And one of the best tools I find in raising my kids is to try to remember what it was like when I was their age. You know, what distance. I had a great relationship with my parents, but there was distance that I needed and there was privacy that I needed. You know, we just have to...
And I think
remember
when you respect that.
That
privacy enough, or that distance where you're aware that that distance needs to be there and you just kind of keep monitoring, you know, where that is, that encourages the kid to come closer to you more.
Right.
Like to come to you more often than not. So
if you're just joining us, you're listening to Raising Saints on AM 820, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt. Today we're talking about how to talk to your teenager, and we're here with Mai, Kira, and Zach. We're kind of going through a list of communication do's and don'ts, and we're on give them increasing autonomy. So I'm wondering, in your opinion, at what point do teenagers start to require more independence from their parents, and for what reasons? Like, what do you remember when you started sort of needing more independence? You do, Zach? Do you remember when
it
was like?
So I think for me, at least, it was once I started in seventh grade, like doing sports and stuff. I think that kind of like built up my independence and helped me like grow and be more responsible and like hold myself accountable, almost just for having to get your sports done, like practice, all that, but also working on your schoolwork. So it helps you build independence and learn responsibility. So I think around that time, once a teenager starts getting involved in a lot of different things, whether it's youth group, like sports, school, I guess once their like stress goes up and amount of like activities they're in, that's when they need like more independence maybe, but also maybe when they need more like guidance and assistance.
So how,
at
so,
the same time.
Okay. So that brings up my next question, which was, how do parents give their kids the room they need, but still actively parent their kids?
It's a fine line.
I mean, you're asking teenagers with no children how to do this. But, you know, just from your perspective, how have your parents found a good balance?
I think my parents have kind of let me, as long as I let them know where I'm going, who I'm with, things like that, they let me go and they let me do my own thing. But when I come home, they're always, when I walk in, we always sit down and have a meaningful conversation. So I get to spend that time with them, but they also let me have this newfound independence. And I think that really came not that long ago when I actually, because I think at first they kind of let me go to the point where I was like, wait, where are my parents? Like, I'm never home anymore. So then I like kind of started seeking that out. And I think that's a really great time that I actually spend with my parents sitting there. But I think that came right around the time when I got my license.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You mean I can go anywhere?
Yeah.
I think something that goes along with that and kind of what sex at about, you know, middle school, for example, seventh grade, you know, that's also the idea where you're like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. Just walk away. I remember that time clearly. Not that my mom did anything, but I remember feeling like, you know, it's this point where I'm like, okay, can I really do this by myself or do I need my mom here? You know, kind of that idea where I thought about it. And I think once you start taking, you know, into account all the different things that you're doing, for example, another big one was the license thing for me. For me, you know, before that, my mom was like, all right, this is curfew. This is what you're doing. You know, this is kind of where I want you to be. All right, awesome. I participate with that. I kind of go a little bit my own way. But once I got my license, like, my mom's like, all right, you have them till this time. You know, just don't just walk in by the house. Like, talk to me. You know, what's up, whatever it is. Let me know where you're going, when you got there. And then it just becomes a habit. So, like, right now, I think my mom sometimes even, like, texts me, oh, I just saw your text from, like, 4 hours ago that you left for, I don't know, for something. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you're checking your phone.
So you, know? So you guys sort of proved yourselves trustworthy. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like your parents don't worry, oh, my gosh, now what is she getting into? Now what is he getting into?
I mean, I think once you've proved responsible, I think independence definitely comes with responsibility. And once you've deemed yourself responsible for things, for tasks that they've already given you to that point, then I think they just have to trust you and make good
judgment.
And
we want the chance to be trusted. I think that's a big one.
Yeah. And let us be wrong. You know, like, we're going to make mistakes, and then that's when we need you the most. But we have to make these mistakes and learn.
That's a good segue into the next item on the list, which is apologize when you're wrong. Both parents, you know, we have to apologize when we're wrong, and teenagers have to apologize when you're wrong. I don't know. Like, is that hard to do?
I think it is hard to do. It's also hard to maybe identify, just because, like, you don't know exactly when you're wrong until it happens. So you might be, like, telling your parents, like, all this stuff about, like, going out with your friends and how it's, like, a good idea, how they should let you do it. But then, and you think it's a great idea, and then once it happens, maybe that's when you're doing the, all right, I messed up, now I know I'm wrong, after the fact. And I think the same thing with parents, just identifying, like, when you are wrong.
Do you think it might be harder for parents to apologize when they're wrong than it is for you guys?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Why is that? Just let me hear your insight into that.
I mean, they taught us how to say sorry, so I'm sure it's weird for them. But I think sometimes they just need to swallow their pride, because they're learning. I mean, we learn from them every day, but I think sometimes they learn more from us, especially in these years now. And I think you just got to swallow your pride and understand that you're not always going to be right.
Right. That is such good advice, because especially when you're little, we are always right. You know, I mean, how many times have your parents said, because I said so, because just trust me, because I know.
Trust me. But I think you've gotten, you know, and I think that's kind of the key, like, trust me. Yeah. Because, and then you get to the teenage, you know, idea and the whole stage, and you're like, well, now they understand why I did it, so they trusted me with it. They know I did it, so now I should trust back, kind of idea. Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of teenagers need and are looking for, is their parents say, you know what, I am learning at the same time. Like, I don't just walk in every single time I talk to you and know I'm just right. Like, I don't think any teen wants to hear that at all. It's just saying that their parents are, because I think there's a lot of different perspectives that the kids are going to bring into the home and say, hey, this is what I think. What, you know, what are your thoughts on it? And I think that's really cool, because maybe the parents' perspective is going to change a little bit, and it might be shaped, and then you find kind of a middle ground instead of taking opposite sides, where you have, you know, the parents saying, I'm always going to be right, and too bad, you're going to have to stick with it. And then that just separates the relationship. Well, otherwise, I don't know, it encourages to change and develop even further. So
I couldn't agree more. I think that sometimes parents really just need to let go and relax and realize that if they're constantly trying to prove us wrong and them right, that it's going to shut down that whole thing for communication, which is what we're talking about. I think sometimes they just need to acknowledge the fact that they are wrong. And that kind of gives us a little bit of courage too, to be able to come to them, and a little more open communication, I think, comes with that.
It also helps. I mean, if there's an open understanding of if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. If you're wrong, you apologize. Like, you don't have to, there's not like this power struggle, you know, there's not like this butting of heads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're right. We do learn so much from our kids. It is so cool to watch your kids grow up and get smarter and get wiser. Even better than smarter is wiser. You know, that's so cool to watch and to learn from that. We just have a couple more minutes, but I didn't know if there was any other advice or tips or things that you think it's important that we discuss in terms of good communication between parents and teenagers.
I think be patient. It's not going to work out the first time. I think you're going to have to try so many different things, and maybe with your kid works a little bit different, and maybe your style, and maybe there's things that you as a parent need to adapt to a little bit, but just always, you know, go into it thinking this is a work in progress. This is something that that is going to last for so long. And this is something that I want my kid to be able to take with him or her and just use it in their own life and say, I am going to reflect this in my life. And I think that's a cool thing to do.
I would say lead with love always, even if you are so upset because they did something horrific. It's always better just approach with love because we're going to be more comfortable in that environment. And I think you as a parent will too.
Great advice. Thank you all for being here. Let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of our children. We thank you for the ways that they enrich our lives, for the things that they teach us, the lessons we learn from our children. Lord, we just ask that you grant us strength as we raise the saints in our lives. Help us to always put you at the center of our relationships and help us to lead with love, as Kira said. And we ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Raising Saints on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Katie Wyatt. Parents, we hope that you have been encouraged by our conversation today. We hope that you can take it into your relationship with your own children. And until next time, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bye now.
Raising Saints is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Raising Saints with Katie Wyatt are available at stgabrielradio.com.